This is Bleed Geek Productions coming at you.
I can probably do the sound effects.
Okay. All right. Let's just go into the freaking podcast. All right. Keep it up, Michael. 5, 4, 3.
Welcome to Bleed Geek episode number 15. I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Patrick McGivern.
And I'm Randy Orvis.
If you're listening live, then you know right now it's 8:19. But, you know, we're going to start at 8. That was the general idea. That's usually our general idea.
We were live at least. We've been live. We had to wait for somebody.
We've been live since about 7:15, actually. But otherwise, you can always find us on iTunes. As usual, we will be discussing the tech news from the last week or so. Today is September 1st.
That is crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
15, September already. We've been going for 105 days.
That's fast math.
That's a third of a year. We are cruising through this thing.
That makes sense. 13 would have been
not quite a third. Anyways.
Anyway, otherwise, like I said, you can always find us on iTunes or on our website, which one or the other you have to have found us somehow, so you probably already know all that. But check us out at bleedgeek.com. That's about all I got right now.
Nothing. What's going on in your guys' world? Oh, Patrick. Patrick has a new toy.
I do. Actually, I shouldn't. There's no reason for me to showcase this.
I know, he's like picking it up, like, look at it here.
It's pretty. It's actually as pretty as the iPads come in. Like, you know, how the box is constructed in, like, basically art. So,
actually have patents on their packaging.
Do they really?
Yeah, because I've seen them.
I know Motorola does as well.
Yeah, that seems crazy to me. Like,
because
really?
One of their, like, on my old slider phone that I got, it was crazy. Like, I couldn't figure out how to open up the box. It was like a box puzzle. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then once I figured it out, it, like, had secret compartment in it, and it's like, this is awesome. So, yes, have you opened it yet?
Yes, I have.
Did we say what it was? Right, Pat got a touchpad.
Yeah,
HP. For those of you that can't see it.
32 gig touchpad.
Which is everyone else.
Have you installed Android on it yet?
No, because there isn't a really a good working
there
version.
There is, Pat.
Good working version of Android?
Yep. There.
I built it the other night, actually.
Three days ago, it was released. I don't remember what website. I can find a link, though.
Because I know the same guy that made
he could find a link
version, the Cyogen. Is that what it's got? The guy's name is?
He made
it. Is it the same?
Is it Cyogen? Whatever. Know. Hacker for that hacks Android stuff.
I mean, I think the one big benefit is that it actually has an SD card slot on the side, so you can expand the space.
Well, and you can use it as, like, you can, like, if you have a camera with you, you can take that on vacation with you, so you can just pop the SD card in, pull the pictures off, get clearing stuff up, so it's cool.
I was using it last night. It has good flash support, so.
Are you done looking at it?
I'm using it right now.
Oh, because your iPad is broken?
No, it works just fine.
Yeah, it does.
It's thicker. You can definitely tell that.
Yeah, it's definitely heavier than the iPad.
But how about what? It
feels way smoother on it. Though.
What
like,
does the what are
glossy.
The specs in comparison to an iPad? Internal wise, processor, that kind of stuff.
It's 1.2 dual core.
Gigahertz?
1.2 gigahertz, yeah.
Gigahertz?
Dual core, 1 gig of memory, and then 32 gigs of space. So how does that compare to your iPad 2, Mike?
I think it's a gig dual core.
Dual core. So
1 gig.
So we're
smoking it.
200. Or actually 200.
0.2 gigahertz.
No, it's not 0.2. Yeah, 0.2 gigahertz, yeah. I thought you were going to say megahertz, and I was like, no.
Gigahertz.
Gigahertz.
Seems very responsive.
Yeah, no. Last night I was watching stuff on CNN that was all in Flash, which was nice. And I did watch a Twit episode, which is not in Flash. It's in, I think, M4V, probably.
I have an app for Twit and for CNN.
Oh, do you? Yeah. And then story. I was on Amazon Video On Demand.
Video On Demand.
And I was able to view my stream. I was able to view my purchase item through streaming in HD. And it looked pretty good. Yeah. I'm kind of like swaying towards the idea that why do you really need like an Amazon tablet?
What do you mean? Because HP is not making touchpads anymore.
Well, I know that, but I'm thinking like for my own personal self.
Oh,
like,
well,
would I buy an Amazon tablet when I have?
Well, yeah, why would you? But until a year from now when you suddenly have all these software issues and then they're not supporting it anymore.
Then I'll just shift over to Android.
I don't know, but I mean, by that time there would be
some bigger and better. I understand. Yeah. It was just
and for $100.
I was just poking fun. 150. You got 32 gig.
32 gig. Yeah. But still, for that price,
$149.99.
When that's $300 cheaper than the low level, or no, that's
$350
is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it'd be whatever. But yeah, neither here nor there.
So, here, as long as there's nor there.
As long as there's I don't know, hackers out there making ported versions for HP touchpads.
Did you get your free apps?
I didn't.
Did you miss out?
I missed out. I didn't even get the email on the free apps.
Well, that's because you didn't buy it from HP directly, I bet.
I could install Facebook for you.
Nah, it's okay.
Pat loves Facebook. Look him up.
I did send somebody your way. Last night. April.
You sent who?
April Showers. April,
yeah?
From college?
From Pine Tech, yeah.
Yeah. She caught me. I didn't know, like, when you log into Hotmail, it automatically signs you into MSN Messenger, similar to, like, GChat.
Yeah.
And I was in there, and all of a sudden I had this message. I'm like, what the hell is this? And it was her. And I'm like, oh, well, hit me up on Facebook. And I was like, here's Pat's, too.
But why didn't you say to her, hit me up on Google Plus? That's what we're trying to promote. And here's an invite. Go use it. So you think non-tech people can not use Google Plus? Is that what you're trying to say right now?
Oh,
suddenly you're abandoning everything you stood for?
To clear a page.
And flick it up.
Well, that's not natural at all.
Ooh.
It took me a while.
I like that though.
And then you can like bounce it down and it'll
go into your like bar or something?
No, it's just like another way to close it.
There you go.
Well, to turn it off, you have to turn it upside down, shake it 3 times. Just kidding.
Christ.
He was treating it like an Etch-A-Sketch over there.
I know. He's like a caveman trying to...
fire.
Because it wouldn't turn the right way.
It turned fine for me.
It's where you're holding it. It doesn't actually matter. It's where you hold it.
No, it flipped every way for me.
No, I know.
So shut up.
It was just...
Anyways, let's get into the show. How about that?
Yeah, let's get into the show. Let's do it.
All right.
What do you want to talk about?
We'll talk about I think the biggest thing that happened this week would be, it was a while ago that we were talking about the AT&T/T-Mobile merger.
What's been going on?
So for those of you, I feel like we always say this, but for those of you not in the know, AT&T put an offer in to buy T-Mobile. The FCC.
No, they worked out a deal to buy them. And then they had to get cleared through the
FCC. Right, but it had to get cleared through the FCC. Department of Justice announced yesterday, it was, I believe, that they were going to block the merger. As coming from a T-Mobile standpoint, I'm on T-Mobile, Mike's on AT&T. Coming from my side, I was hoping this would happen. I know AT&T is gonna appeal the ruling, but I don't want to be part of AT&T.
I don't want to be part of AT&T either.
I think their price structure sucks. Everything would work out. It would all work out for the better, I think, because my network would be bigger. AT&T customers' networks would be a lot better as well. But I like my little company. They always have really good price structure, and it's like they're always one of the lowest priced ones out there too for packages, and they're not trying to screw over the, I feel like T-Mobile is like the working class cell phone carrier.
See, I think that's what they represent, but the reality of it is they have to be that because otherwise they're not going to stand because right now they're number four. Like, they have to give good deals. They can't just sit back and say, well, we're going to do what we want because they don't have the user base.
But part of that, not to say that they shouldn't. Which one, I mean, because
Verizon, I believe, is number one and AT&T is number two. But
and I think the only reason why AT&T is number three is where it's at is because of the iPhone.
Oh, I agree.
So...
But I'm just saying that.
Right. And, I mean, there's tons of people that are not
and
happy.
It's the same with Sprint. What do you think? Sprint has decent price. I mean, compared to Verizon and AT&T, Sprint has better pricing than they do. And it's because they have to do what they can to get people in the door. You know, they have to make deals. And that's the whole reason the merger is being blocked right now is because you take one of those people out. And how long is it before Sprint gets eaten up too then? Because they can't last against just Verizon and AT&T. So it's because it's killing competition that
right.
They said it would bring it down to just two options in 97 out of 100 markets.
Yep. Yeah.
Kind of makes you wonder how like Sprint and Nextel merged.
Like, well, I think at that point there was a lot of smaller markets that were still open. Like,
and Nextel wasn't. I mean, their coverage. If you, because I remember
all they had was a button on the side. That was all.
Well, and their network wasn't that big, anyways. Because I remember looking at it when I was working at Genesis. That's all we had was Nextels, and I thought about getting one just because it would make sense. But I mean, their coverage just going out to my parents' house, like I couldn't use the phone that we had for work in the basement or anything, and it's like, well, this clearly doesn't make sense, you know. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I think I don't know how long the appeal process takes, and
I'm sure this is far from the last thing we're going to hear about this. I mean, AT&T is all up in arms, you know. They're like, we're going to create jobs, we're going to bring they're claiming they're going to bring, like, I don't remember if it's 50,000 or 500,000 call center jobs that are currently like outsourced to another country. They're gonna, you know, bring those back to America and like.
I thought they were threatening to outsource.
No, they're telling them they're gonna bring them back in. See,
oh, okay.
make jobs in America, help the economy. They're about America, Pat.
Come on. I've never called AT&T customer support before, but I know calling T-Mobile, I have never gotten anybody out of the country before.
When I was with T-Mobile, I hated their customer support. I hate AT&T's customer support, too. I hate customer support in general.
What was wrong with T-Mobile's?
Oh, every person I talked to told me something different for the same question.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I've been fairly lucky with all of my deals.
And I was with them for 5 years, 6 years. I mean, I liked T-Mobile, don't get me wrong. The only reason I left was to get the iPhone.
Yep. But we talked last week anyways, and there hasn't been any more rumors about it, but that's...
It's as of right now, the rumor is that it's coming to everyone. So
yes, which would be sweet. I still haven't decided what I will do. My phone is outdated. It sucks to say. I mean, year and a half old, and it's
it feels like 10 years old.
It does.
I feel like, how can you even make calls on that thing?
Oh, jeez. But
although at least your screen works, unlike some people.
I know. But my wife will at least have an iPhone if it comes to T-Mobile. So
let's see, and it leaves me, like, I don't know. Do I want to go to Sprint? I've been looking at their plans, like, if they get it. Like, I might switch, depending on if they offer any help with my early termination fee. Which, in other related news, I guess, apparently Sprint is raising their early termination fee from $200 to $350. In case you were curious about that. Thinking about leaving Sprint.
That's kind of interesting.
Well, because, yeah, it is weird, isn't it? But yeah. Verizon did the same thing. It used to be like $200, now it's $350 a while back.
They're in cahoots.
Everybody, I mean, yeah. I think early termination fees are ridiculous, in my opinion.
Well,
but it kind of makes sense because they subsidize so much of the phone at the beginning that they to make it worth their while for you to have a two-year plan, but.
Bingo.
Which you used to be able to have one-year plans and. There was something saying that some Verizon customers were getting emails about their upgrade coming sooner, which also happened last year to AT&T customers right before the iPhone dropped.
I read that.
So it's interesting to see what will happen. It's got to be coming soon. iOS beta updated last night to 7. So I think we got to be getting close. I mean, we still don't know, but we're in September now. So, well, the what was the rumored date? It was September. For the announcement, it was like September. It was like 15th. Early September, wasn't it?
Was it
like 14th, 7th. I thought it was 7th for a while.
For some reason, like the 15th comes to mind.
Man, we're a month away from my birthday. To my iPhone 5 for my birthday. From Steve. That's why Steve stepped down. He had to come to my house to bring me my new iPhone.
Is this elaborate surprise birthday party? And then when he comes here,
that's highly inappropriate. Maybe we should move on.
I'll break his legs.
Randy's gonna get accosted.
Merger. So anyway,
you're just gonna magically disappear. Lydia won't even like know.
Can you just kind of go beep over that section?
Yeah, we'd have to edit that out otherwise.
So anyway, as of now, the merger is being blocked, but we know, and there was also an email sent out to the T-Mobile customers that, or the T-Mobile employees that was like, don't worry guys, we're still gonna, try to make things work out. They're still working on it. If not, and if it doesn't go through, AT&T has to pay T-Mobile $3 billion.
Is it for wasting their time basically, or?
Because they were so confident that it would work. Like to put themselves out there as we're being bought. It kind of makes you look bad, you know?
Right.
But I mean, what happens if they don't get bought? Do you think they'll stay in business, or do you think, I mean...
I feel like they have... I mean, I guess I don't know. I don't know what their financial stability is. I don't know what their user structure is like. But, I mean, if they were to go under, I'll be with them till the end, I guess. Because,
I can't see them go like I would think they would get bought out before they went under, which but obviously that's not happening either.
Right.
So who knows these things?
I guess we'll keep moving on.
Yeah.
That was long.
Well, yeah, that's the merger.
We will keep you updated.
Yeah,
as
things become clearer.
More clear.
Clarified. In other news, this messaging game is just getting, you know, weirder and weirder. Samsung just announced that they're going to launch an app called Chat On, which is essentially a messenger that they're going to launch on cross platforms. They're launching on Android, iOS, on their own. What is it, Bata? Is that what they run? They have their own operating system that no one knows what it is, and they're going to get it too, of course. But it's basically their way of trying to enter this whole game of continuous trying to escape SMS, but no one can have one unified. Like, it's hard to get on everything. I mean, obviously, Samsung phones will probably start coming with it built in, but it's essentially like Instant Messenger on your phone. Any thoughts? Samsung.
I don't know.
Chat just, on.
I don't even know what the trend is. Why they're trending right now?
I think they're just joining the club because if they can get, I'm sure it's something that was very cheap to develop because I mean you have so many models after it, and I think they see it as if we can build it cheaply, why wouldn't we, and just get you know get some users out there. I mean people are going to use it.
It hasn't launched yet.
Right. But
it's supposed to launch very soon, though.
And you can share more than just text, right?
Right, like messaging, videos. There's like you can make little animations on pictures.
Hmm.
There's a whole little
avatars.
Like they're like kind of like
GIF
like,
image.
Yeah, kind of like GIFs.
Animated GIFs.
But it's like you can make the animation. Like you just draw. Like they showed someone take a picture and then like put a heart around it and then send it to someone and then it showed them. You know, the heart was drawn on it.
Yeah.
Kind of like.
I gotcha.
I don't know. We'll see if anything comes of it or if it'll just fall into the muck with everyone else. But yeah. I don't know.
I'm really kind of indifferent to all these different
messaging.
Yeah.
Well, it's because you're going to have iMessage.
And you don't really use all that much stuff anyway.
You don't respond when people text you anyway.
When it comes to that kind of stuff,
Pat's antisocial.
Am I antisocial?
I wouldn't say antisocial.
I would. Okay. I would say you're antisocial.
Efficient?
I would say
efficient.
I wouldn't say antisocial.
I would,
but you are
I did.
Lacking Okay, fine. Yeah.
Antisocial.
Antisocial.
Just because I don't draw hearts around my text and
no one's asking you to draw a heart, Pat. They're just asking for a text message. They're looking for a response once in a while.
I know, but you're not.
Okay, there's a difference between being busy and antisocial.
Being busy all the time.
Like, wish you happy birthday on GChat, and you're like, get effed.
Get effed.
I didn't plus one that?
Huh?
Did I not plus
one
that?
No, you didn't.
I plus one something of yours.
Heartless son of a bitch.
I'm trying.
It's okay. Anyways.
It doesn't. Antisocial.
It doesn't fit into my life right now. It doesn't.
That's okay.
Anyways. Another fad.
Another fad. ISIS.
ISIS.
You know anything about that, Pat?
You know
I do
about
know
it?
About ISIS because they're receiving $100 million cash infusion from AT&T,
Verizon.
T-Mobile, Verizon.
That's crazy, right?
Their money's into ISIS.
Yeah.
So.
Google Wallet, look out.
Yeah, no kidding. It looks like they still have retail support for MasterCard, PayPass, also.
Yeah, I mean it's becoming just like the patent wars. It'll be a NFC war. It'll be who can get their chips where until someone comes. It's kind of like HD DVDs and Blu-rays, right? One of them went out eventually.
That's true.
We'll see what happens. ISIS is just another taking a stab at the NFC world as well. Near field communication. Want to learn more about that? Go find our first episode.
Right. I mean, it's one of the many things you can do with near field communication. I think the best adoption of NFC is probably pairing your wireless headphones to a device, or pairing your whatever phone to a wireless speaker. Because as like a handshaking protocol, I think it actually works pretty slick.
I thought you wanted to get rid of your wallet, Pat.
I do.
I saw today actually an NFC blocking wallet.
NFC blocking wallet.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a fire wallet.
Because. Well, it's lead. It's like lead lined or something like that. Mm. Not really, but just to block out the transmission.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I had people freaking out about it. It was before we even started our podcast. This lady's work's like, oh my gosh, did you guys hear about people hacking credit cards? Yeah, look on the back because you don't want one with a wireless sign on it because NFC transmits. And I'm like,
the tap to pay.
I'm like, it doesn't really work like that. It's not like that at all. But, I mean, just super paranoid people. And it's like, whatever.
I'd actually be curious if you, let's say you, like, tap something to read the NFC chip, what do you see? I'm assuming it's hashed or is encoded.
Oh, it has to be encrypted because, I mean,
It has to be.
Yeah, because I'm sure all transactions like that have to be encrypted. I mean, there's no way you could... It's like doing something online, you know, and putting in your credit card number, you know, everything's all SSL encrypted. I'm sure there's some sort of hardware encryption built into it, but...
Yeah, because Square got nailed for the swiping.
Yep.
Because it wasn't encrypted between that device and the phone.
Well, it was like, in between, like,
which
when you plugged
it ridiculous.
In, it was the transmission from the headphone jack to the
device
computer or whatever
phone
wasn't encrypted,
but the magnetic side is just basically
it's just reading raw numbers. Their argument was
you're
there is nothing
to a stranger already.
Well, there's nothing else out there right now. Like, I don't know what else other kind of things there are. Or no, they were talking about the portable credit card readers. Like, even when you swipe those, like, if you go somewhere, those aren't encrypted from the device to the computer that it's hooked to either. Yeah. So they're like, what's the difference, you know?
Sure.
So, I don't know. I mean, that was just people trying to blow smoke quick at a hot item.
So, well, anyways, I mean, this new cash infusion that's happening, it's kind of a different turn of event because originally ISIS was planning on charging... I believe the mobile carriers themselves, and then you would pay your mobile carrier, kind of just cutting out like Visa, MasterCard, or whoever, you know, was your cardholder at the time, which brought up tons of controversy over that because now you're just essentially eliminating them as a like a transaction analyzer, as a bank or even, you know what I mean, a credit lender out of the mix. So it's kind of it's an interesting take as to, even though these companies are still kind of on board and maybe that's still their plan of attack. I guess I don't know the whole plan proposal with this agreement with the cash infusion, but
it's interesting though
it's a new step towards the NFC battle.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
It would be, and Google needs to do something.
Speaking of Google, they recently announced that they were bringing offline support to Gmail, Calendar, and Docs.
Woot, woot!
I think right now it's you can get it as an app for Chrome, like a Chrome plugin type thing.
Yes.
But I don't. I think it's only Gmail so far, right?
Correct.
And the other ones are working, but it's I don't know. It's kind of one of those things that like, why wouldn't you already have that? But at the same time, it's like. I can definitely see issues that'll come up with everything. Like, I don't know, what if you worked on a Google document that was shared between four people, let's say, and you all edited things, and then you hooked back up online relatively near the same time? What would happen?
Which rights have precedence?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's.
I mean, maybe it'll be have limited featureability in that sense. Maybe it'll only be, you know, your own personal docs. I don't know. It's good of them, though, because Chromebook users should be happy, because as of right now, without an internet connection, their computer's pretty much useless.
Yeah.
But this will obviously make that a little better, so it's good. Move in the right direction, I think, for sure.
And they're building it in HTML5.
Right.
Which also has the ability to store offline files, or at least run applications offline, so...
So that
kind of headed towards the next markup language, which is nice.
Indeed.
All right, and then speaking of offline access, actually this has nothing to do with that, but AT&T announces the HTC Jetstream LTE tablet and Galaxy S2. Amid all of this news about merger being denied by the department or the Justice Department, looks like the HTC Jetstream is going to be the company's latest tablet. It's going to be a 10.1-inch honeycomb slate. It's going to be available nationwide on Sunday. In addition to its iPad-sized screen, the tablet will also have a 1.5 gigahertz dual-core processor and a front and rear-facing camera. And it will cost you $699.99 with a two-year contract. And AT&T is also... receive a discount if they commit for two-year agreements on a new post-paid 35 3 gigabit month data plan.
Are they only going to be available to AT&T as like a custom, like as like a similar as a phone, like, or can you just buy one that's only Wi-Fi?
That I don't see a Wi-Fi only option.
Seems a little crazy. Like, I feel like that's...
Seems like a waste.
In a market that's already hard to get into, it just feels like you're limiting yourself out of the gate.
Yeah.
By doing that? Don't you think, like...
No, I do. I do agree. I mean, I think a lot of these tablets are priced way too high. Just to even compete.
Can we just learn from HP how you win? How you beat Apple?
Which is going to the rumor about the Amazon tablet being actually priced under the cost... And then making up the difference on content.
Right. I feel like that's been being talked about slightly since, like, that's what, I mean, essentially that's what they do with the Kindle. I mean, I've heard the argument that they should give Kindles away with 10 purchases of an e-book, you know, too. I mean,
that makes sense.
I mean, Amazon's ecosystem is built to feed stuff into. So if they get a device out there that's built to consume from them, it would only make sense that they would get it out as cheaply and as most available as they can, because...
Similar to what Google did.
Right. Flood the market.
Exactly.
But, we'll see what happens. The Amazon is still just a rumor. There's been, I mean, technically nothing has been announced at all, so.
That's true. But they're saying a 7-inch by the end of this year, and then a 10-inch by beginning of next year.
And by they're saying, you mean the rumors?
The rumors. They as the...
People, just people familiar with the situation.
That's just the way it works. Like,
it's yeah. I'm so over this crap.
What crap?
It's like, the rumor is garbage. It's like freaking
And by over it, you mean you think it's ever going to end? Ever?
It will never end because Apple loves it. They
they don't do it. I mean,
no, they do.
I mean, I think Steve's sitting back there going, "How'd you read this one, Tim? Check this one out."
Because it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Google was king of doing that, like letting little things leak themselves, but people didn't know who was doing it, you know? So it wouldn't surprise me if there's some developer at Apple going, "Hey, guess what I heard? Hey, guess what I heard?" And it's just like, oh, shoot me now. It's like you can't go to any tech site without the first page of, you know, say there's 10 articles. Guaranteed, one of them is something about Apple. Apple, like Apple's rumors. It's like, come on. Just,
I bet I don't there's know. A site called Apple Rumors.
That's true.
I know there is a Mac Rumors. So
yes, Mac Rumors. But I'm saying, like, just in Mac. General.
No, I know what you mean.
Every time I look at new news articles and it's an Apple rumor, I weigh it. I'm like, ugh.
You're like, I can't wait.
So
that's not what I'm thinking. I was like, just give us the product.
Along with AT&T announcing their tablets, so last week we talked about the touchpad and HP doing their fire sale, dropping all of the tablets down to $99 for their base model for the 16 gig. They now, well, this was as of, I believe, Monday, that they were the second best-selling tablet on the market as of Monday. It could very well be different now, but that's crazy for something that...
It's only been out 60 days, too.
For something where, now, maybe. Where people know, the company has announced... We are not going to do anything with this. We are stopping everything.
But they
are. They're cutting ties with it completely. And it's the second best selling. I mean, obviously next to the iPad. But it was announced on Tuesday, that HP, even though they're not going to do any support, they're cutting ties with this, they're actually going to be putting out an update for it.
They're going to support it for a year, though, I thought.
I think they would be supporting it, but not developing.
See, it's because HP has, you know, confused things to the best of their ability that they don't even know what's happening anymore.
All part of the grand scheme.
But yeah, I think they still want to make it look good because they're trying to sell it. Essentially, they want to license WebOS.
I mean, I think as of right now, they have a good user base to test out the new features.
Well, now they do.
Obviously, now they do. But yeah, I mean. I could see them. I mean, there's definitely advancements that need to happen, at least with the browser. I mean, if they could get some of like the HTML5 games to work, or even some of the Flash games to work really well, that would be a good. That would be something great for WebOS. But yeah, I think it's kind of pertinent for them to kind of keep it up to date with some of the competitors, especially if they still see it as.
Yeah, I know. All they said. I mean, they don't say. I guess I've never seen how long they planned on supporting it, but they did say that. I mean, they were going to be all over the air updates for it at least. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's apps out there for it. HTML. If they could get HTML5, I mean, that would be primo.
Killer.
For it. Yeah. So.
Then you'd
If you can, buy, if you can find a touchpad, I mean, I haven't played with it enough yet, but I mean, it's a solid feeling device.
For $100, really?
It looks hardware. Sharp, and the price point is, I mean, you can't go wrong, honestly.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I lost my link to what
and
our next story was.
Next.
Facebook.
So the Facebook music platform to debut at F8 in late September. Does anyone know what F8 is?
Fate?
Oh, is that what it is?
No, it's the Facebook. It's, I mean, Google has the I.O. conference.
Okay.
Apple has WWDC. Facebook has F8.
F8.
I think.
Have they been going for 8 years?
It should be F me. Ha 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 ha.
I don't.
So, but anyways, Facebook is planning to announce a music platform at its F8 conference on September 22nd. According to an anonymous source speaking to CNBC, they said it's going to be.
So this, is a,
this be
is a rumor.
This is a
rumor. They didn't announce that they're going to.
This is a rumor. The platform is rumored to be less of a retail outlet, iTunes, and kind of more of a streaming service like Pandora, Spotify, to engage its customers.
They've
and
actually
social music, music
book.
They've
music book. There you go.
They've the
FacePod.
It's actually been rumored. This rumor says that they're actually partnering with RDO, Pandora, Spotify, and Moog.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. Which seems kind of crazy. So
what?
Right, but people have their preferences now, so why not allow them to keep using?
And why wouldn't all those companies want to have access to most 800 million user base?
Most of them already have like integration to Facebook. Like I know for sure Spotify does, and I believe RDO and Moog
does.
Moog do. I don't know about Pandora.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's already like, oh, share what you're listening with on Facebook. Like, you can already connect. I mean, so the seeds have already been planted, if you will, so to speak. Guess. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. We'll find out in late September at Fate.
Yeah. When it's Fate.
Or the F8. F8 is the play pause button on my computer, I guess. Or,
mine's for the numeric pad.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yeah, it's different.
So, speaking of streaming music... iTunes, iCloud, we've talked about it quite a bit. One of the big features was they said, or I think, did we talk about it last week, that iCloud was going to be streaming instead of downloading to your device?
We talked about it a long time ago. Well, we talked that it was, no, we never talked about that. No.
Okay.
See what happens.
I get lost when we're talking, just talking, and when we're talking on air. So,
no.
I'm just verifying.
Because it happened Monday night, they released iTunes Match beta for developers.
Okay.
Monday night.
But I wasn't sure if we talked about just the iCloud and that it was going to be streaming. But that was part of Music Match, so.
Music Match, when we talked about it, I made it clear, and when I wrote about it, that it would be download only, because that's what they had said. They had never talked about streaming at all. And then Monday night, when they released the iTunes Match beta for developers, everyone started to go nuts for it, and they shut it down actually already because they had so much,
just so many people trying to.
Yeah, and I mean they're just working out the bugs. That's the whole point of beta. But what people think was they thought they were getting more than what they thought. People started to think that, oh man, look at this, we're getting streaming. We can stream right from, like they just hit the button and it starts playing.
Yep.
But all things D talked to an Apple exec, and what they said is, it's still downloading. It just starts playing as soon as it starts downloading. And it starts caching it.
Yep.
They're just really buffering it. So it seems like it's streaming, but it's actually downloading it.
Yeah. So there was
even if it's just in cache, it's still downloading it somewhere.
Yep.
And how long it stays there isn't clear. If it stays there permanently until you take it off. And right, it's in beta. But, I mean, everyone was going crazy, and then... Because they never said anything about streaming when they announced it.
Yeah, people were...
But everyone was confused by
what
they
announced. People were freaking out because they thought it was streaming, and they're like, oh, they never said anything about this.
Yeah, they're like, we're getting more than we asked for. This is awesome.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually stream.
And people thought, you know, that maybe the reason they're not streaming is because they don't have the licensing rights to do that. But someone from a record label has come out. Someone talked to a reporter or something and said, you know, no, they have the rights to stream it. So the next take, and this is just from the All Things D episode, or the episode, the All Things D
conference.
No, story.
Oh.
Was just this person's speculation, but they think that it is perhaps just Apple being that way, because that's their philosophy, is because they think that somehow the carriers are going to, you know, somehow
they're
it works
want
better.
A piece of that, or,
you know, or because of the data rates and whatnot and just everything involved
with
that.
Well, at that point, what's the difference? Downloading every song versus streaming every song, what's the difference?
See, I'm not
you download
sure.
it once and then you can just play it off your phone once. So you
but
use less
so
data.
If it's cached, but if it does take it off, I mean, unless you actually have to delete it.
Because that's the way that I thought that the cloud service would work. It would work like a locker. You could go download songs, create your playlists, and then it's stored locally on your
right.
iPhone.
But say you have what does your phone hold? 16?
Mm-hmm.
16 gigs, and I have I had in my Google Music essentially 100 gigs worth of music out there.
Oh, and so do I.
So and if you're gonna create a playlist which has say 10 gigs of music on there, So you're going to download... I would think there has to be some sort of, like, time frame. Like, if song hasn't been played in 3 days, remove to make room for new songs being played or something.
Or but, maybe... I mean, it's still... Or perhaps they will clear off part of it and leave a little bit, so it could start, so it has that buffer. Like, maybe it'll keep 30 seconds every song.
And yeah, just to start buffering.
Yeah, so it's playing, and then it's just downloads. And it's also
buffering. And the, I don't know.
I mean, it's in beta. It's already locked down. Like, I tried to sign up, and it's already locked down.
It's all speculation. Nobody really knows. But it doesn't stream, so don't get your...
So far. Who knows what'll come?
Yeah.
And while we're talking about Apple, we'll just go right along to the fact that Apple TV is no longer doing TV rentals, which really makes sense anyway, because it wasn't a good market. I mean, they...
It was like half the episode. It was like maybe 99 cents to rent it or something like that.
Yeah, it started out at $2.99, then it went to $1.99, then it dropped to 99 cents, I think, is how it went. But now that they're allowing you, well, it makes sense that because a couple weeks ago we talked about they added the ability to purchase, because it used to be rent only, and now they added purchase ability, and now they've taken away the rental. So it makes sense that they added that in before they took this away. So it kind of makes sense. I mean, nobody wants to rent it. Like, I might as well just buy it at that point. You know, the episodes are pretty cheap, and then I can watch it whenever I want, however many times I want it, without all the silly restrictions of you have 2 weeks to watch it, but once you start watching it, you only have 24 hours to finish it.
I think you get it from both sides, though, because I know one of the arguments I had heard was, like, when you buy a movie, I mean, sure, you get to watch it whenever, but how many times do you really rewatch it? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
and especially, I think actually that really comes into effect with TV shows, because how often, with the exception of a few shows, are you going to sit down and watch over and over again?
Yeah, I know I got The Office, and I've watched those only once through, and I've never wanted to go back to them.
It's not like you have
It's Always Sunny. I've watched
a thousand times,
a bunch of times.
Yeah, I mean, in that show, it's the same for me. You know, it goes. The same thing. It's Always Sunny. I watch all the time, but...
Oh, shit. Is that a pool?
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting, but... I don't know. It kind of makes sense, so...
Yeah.
The rental business just wasn't going well for him anyway.
I'm kind of wondering how the rental business is going for iTunes.
I think that's actually probably goes better.
But I still feel like because some of the movies rent charges because
movies insane. Are a lot more expensive to buy, whereas it's only a $2.99 or $1.99 to buy a TV episode, as compared to buying a movie where it's $10 to $15, and you can rent it for three or four or five,
yeah,
depending. You know,
which I still think is kind of.
I think it's expensive.
Yeah, I think it's way.
But
I think it's
overcharged. People do it, so whatever.
I guess
they're making money, right?
Make money.
And if you don't like rentals, maybe you like Netflix, but maybe you won't like Netflix in the near future, as Starz Entertainment, which is the cable channel Starz, has announced that they will not be renewing their license with Netflix when it is up. It ends at the end of February of 2012, and you might be thinking, well, I don't watch any, Starz doesn't make any shows, but... It gives Netflix users access to the shows that they get access to that they have the rights for, namely the Sony movies and the Disney movies that come out right away. And then they go on Starz first. Well, all those people that have Netflix also get access to them in their instant streaming, but this will no longer be the case. I know personally we use it because Owen used to watch Up. And that we had that because of Starz, and right now we still have Toy Story 3 because they're they're Disney movies, but it'll be taking a little bit of Netflix's power away, which is funny because it was announced today, and starting September 1st today was the start date of where you had to either be one or the other of their new pricing.
And if you didn't pick, like, say you didn't elect one or the other, then they just automatically assume you're doing both?
I just chose one.
It would make sense.
I just chose one, so I didn't wait to see what would happen.
Right. No, I was just curious.
Right.
To see if you knew.
No. But so it'll be interesting to see. And one of the reasons Netflix wanted to do that, people thought, was to get away, because with Starz, their license only licensed a certain number of internet viewers. and with everyone being automatically lumped into the instant streaming service that they were before, they were well over that cap, and so they were going to lose the rights to some Star shows. And so the whole one of, they think one of the main theories behind them splitting them was to help with this. So I don't know, maybe it was all for naught, or maybe it's still part of their grand scheme. We will have to wait and see.
So, okay, so when they went over that cap, or that arbitrary cap that they had back in June,
mm-hmm.
do you still have access to some Star stuff?
Right now.
You do have?
So I don't know if they were like, you got to take care of this or we're going to just go away.
I'm pretty sure they just...
Or if they just
handed him a big duffel bag full of cash.
Yeah.
Like,
just keep it quiet for a couple more days. We'll take care of it.
So, I mean, I think it's kind of crazy because they said it was something like $30 million a year to license the content.
Yeah.
And
now they're wanting
upwards of 20.
It's retarded.
Well, because the TV or the film companies have all the rights. They hold all the power. They can charge what they want. I mean, Netflix got reasonable, and we'll say reasonable because they weren't reasonable before. I mean, what did you just say they're paying?
$30 million.
That's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But because, I mean, and that at the time was a good rate. But now that it's become such a popular thing and so mainstream, they realize the power they hold, and they want to charge, you know, 100 times more than that now. I don't know what they want to charge, but I know it's, you know.
Yeah, all they did in this article, they just quoted Reed Hastings saying that he wouldn't be shocked if they wanted to pay $200 million a year or more to renew the deal.
Yeah, and they just, they Stars came out and said, you know, we just want to, you know, to keep our brand strong and to keep our cable customers happy, blah, blah, blah. We just want to...
Well, they said that you're also eating into some of their DVD sales by allowing some of this content to be able...
Well, not it can't be, because Stars doesn't make movies, so it can't be Stars DVD sales, but Disney and Sony.
Disney and Sony.
But with Stars, it's, well, people aren't going to pay for, I mean, how much is it to have Stars on top of your cable, like, as a premium channel? HBO and Stars, you know, it's like, it's got to be, I bet it's at least $5, if not $10, right, a month. I mean, if you're already paying $8 for Netflix to get all the other stuff, you're not going to pay for Stars, too, if you're getting all the access, right? Because why would you?
Right. It's like, why aren't these companies just... I mean, if they're going to charge ridiculous amounts of money, why aren't they taking this money that they're making and making their own streaming service? Like, using Netflix...
Like HBO Go.
Exactly.
But the thing with HBO Go is, why not make... Right now, you have to have HBO already.
Exactly.
And people are saying, they're asking, why can't you just make this a la carte? I would pay for that service.
Exactly.
I mean, to get the back catalog of every HBO show and everything they're playing is phenomenal.
Well,
I mean, that's worth $5 a month to me.
I know. I mean, the one thing I'm waiting for is when... it'll be a while, but when cable finally goes under, when they realize how much of a crappy service it actually is... And start just cable a la carte in general. I mean, like, when I buy my pack, like, if I get cable again, I don't want all these channels. I want the
channels. I got 100 channels that I'm going to watch 5 of.
Exactly. And that's what it was at our old apartment. It's like, I don't care about 3/4 of these channels. I want, you know, give me my Discovery, my History, my Nickelodeon, and, you know, let me pick what I want to watch. I'm happy to pay for that, you know? But it's like, I think that would be, I mean, using, I could see if they were using Netflix as kind of their stepping stone so they could get their stuff set up, mm-hmm. but I don't see that happening. And
we don't
crazy.
See them saying this on the eve of them putting out their own Stars Go app.
I know. So it just seems crazy.
And I mean, HBO is essentially, I think it is like an $8 fee on top of your cable. I mean, if they just started charging $8 for everyone to make it available to more people, you could think of the audience they could reach on iOS even, and Android both, because I think it's on both. Think the whole market that they could buy into, or just via the web. So many people are cord cutters but would pay for that content that I think they're losing out on money myself. I mean, I just think it's stupid not to.
I agree. Look for that article. I've got two articles that I'm hoping to have done within... 2 weeks, one by mid next week I'll have out, and then
one the following week. So check out the site.
Cord cutting.
Cutting.
Yeah, it's on my agenda.
You got to think though, like, not kind of revise the to beat the dead horse again. You got to think that, like, when cable was building packages and delivering content and making all these deals behind, you know, closed doors, and, you know, we knew nothing of it, you know, as a consumer. You got to think that the cable company went through the same thing that probably Netflix is going through, where
paying the licensing rights of thousands of dollars,
and then they're trying to find a way to, you know, subsidize that or like spread it across the mass so that it makes it affordable. It's kind of interesting that Netflix kind of came in as like the new basic cable provider, essentially.
It's the next source of media.
I feel like Netflix is going to go through that same cycle where the cable companies already have. I mean, they're kind of cresting and now kind of going downhill with all these cord cutters.
But cable, I mean, the thing with Netflix is you don't have commercials.
Well, you know what's
and
funny
the
is
thing
that
is
the
when cable. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, go ahead. Cause you're going right where I was going to go.
I was going to say, like, when cable companies started, the whole thing was
you're paying
a fee to the cable company for no commercials.
Right. So what I'm saying is that I think the licensing got so outrageous that they had to start subsidizing in some other way, and that was marketing.
Commercials.
But I think part of it is I mean, I understand that, but at the same time, they could just straight up say, "No, we don't want to air your show." Because, I mean, if a cable company where this TV show is getting their viewers from, if they don't have anywhere to show their TV show, I would feel like they would be the ones that have to sort of agree to what the cable company's terms are, not the other way around. I mean, they should be thankful that a cable company is going, yeah, we'll air your show for you. We have this many average viewers. Here you go.
Sure.
I see it from both sides.
I mean, you don't have, I mean, not to lump like cable and satellite all together. I mean, you do have other providers.
And even different cable providers. I mean, is there other, I know we have Comcast here, but is there any other cable company
Cox
around here?
Serves Arizona and like California.
I just got another one. Like, it's one I've never heard of.
I mean, but there's some competition in the space. And then there is the satellite, the dish, the DirecTV. I mean, it's essentially those two. And, I mean, you know, there's Time Warner in other areas besides Comcast, right?
Sure.
Those are the big four, let's say. But if someone doesn't going to pay for it, the other three will. And that's just where it is. It's just they know they can get the money for it, and they
right.
know what they can charge.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
understand
not saying,
what you're saying, that they could say, you know, well, we're not going to give you our show then. But, I mean, you're going to end up hurting yourself because
right.
they have such power
yeah,
already.
Yeah, no, I totally see it from that side as well,
and
you know. But it's just crazy.
I don't know. And I think it's just, like, if anything, Netflix, I mean, if they can work out the deals and keep the cost low, then they'll keep their user base. But I think if they start jacking the cost, I mean, obviously it's going to be because all these different film companies are going to raise their prices. But I don't know. I see Netflix kind of struggling the same way the cable provider is struggling. I think the only advantage would be is to say HBO did sell directly, or TNT or TBS or
well, and the thing
AMC.
Is, well, and see, I think AMC and TBS are going to have a lot harder time at it because they're in the packs, right? Where HBO is sold as itself
premium
already,
service.
You know, it's a premium on top of what you're paying for cable. You have to pay more for HBO, and so I think that's why it would be easy for them. They already have the app built. Just start a subscription service. How hard would that be? You know what I mean? Like, how hard would it be for them when they already have an app to just set up a subscription fee?
Yeah. No,
I
don't know.
I would pay for it.
I
would pay for HBO.
I'm waiting.
But I don't want cable.
Right.
It's not worth me paying for cable and HBO because HBO is one of those channels I would choose because they make good shows.
Yep.
And they do that because
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Sopranos, Boardwalk Empire is supposed to be pretty good. I didn't see it. The Wire.
Oh, there's lots of them.
You know, there's and then having access to any movies they're currently playing is good. It's a good service. HBO Go is a good, and it's a solid app. But you have to have HBO already.
Yeah, I don't know. That's sort of ranting a little bit about the cable world, but
it's funny because that story was just announced tonight, not really on our agenda. But I was like, we should throw this in.
I know it's a good one.
It's a sore spot for all of us.
Well, I mean, it is because
well,
miss
none of us
I mean,
have cable. You don't have cable, do you? Yeah, none of us have cable.
No, so we're all cable cutters. I mean, I had it. Mike had it. I don't know if you had kids. Well, you had.
We had kids. We had the like the 6 month like.
You know, so I don't know. I feel like whatever. Yeah, whatever. We've already said what we need to say about it. Yeah. So get your crap together. Seriously.
And if you want to cut the cord, Randy will be working on an article to help you do that.
Yes.
Check out Bleed Geek next week to find out.
Correct.
Ideas.
Last story is, I don't know, I'm hoping I can set like a little precedence for kind of being the hacker news guy here, but a website popped up in this last week also called rankmyhack.com, and it's a place where hackers can post, not your source code. Yeah, I know. But you can say, show proof of what you've done. And it's sort of like, I don't know if you remember back in the day, like the Hot or Not, you know, ranking pictures of girls and guys. It's similar.
Face Smash?
The Hot or Not code.
It's the Hot or Not for the hacker scene. So, I mean, everybody goes on there and say, you know, tells you, you get, you know, this is awesome, this is lame. It's pretty interesting. I don't know. I don't think it'll ever be truly legit because, I mean, real hackers aren't going to want their stuff publicized, but it's interesting. I think it's funny. So.
It's definitely, yeah. Just another way for hackers to brag, though.
It is.
Hobbyist hackers. How about that?
Yeah, that's where it's at. I mean, it's not hardcore hackers. I think it's really the hobbyist type ones, so.
Not like, this is how we got Lockheed Martin.
Exactly.
Here you go, world.
So, yeah, that's what we got.
So, yeah, I guess that's pretty much the end of our news for the week.
Yeah.
Pretty much right about time.
So, if you want, you can... I'll let you go. That's kind of your thing.
Well, before we get into where you can find us, I would like to say that our football podcast is starting to get up and running. We have a few things up if you want to go check it out at thepointafterattempt.com. And the NFL season starts officially on September 8th, next Thursday, a week from today. And the Packers and Saints play each other, but that's neither here nor there, I guess.
Streaming Thursday.
But the following week after that, we will be starting our regular weekly show. So
we're not starting at opening week?
Well, what were we talking about? The games hadn't played yet.
Why not do like pregame?
Pregame?
There's pregame shows.
Well, I have pregame stuff I'll release. We'll release something. Okay. I have more stuff to put out.
Okay.
But just check out thepointafterattempt.com. We'll be putting stuff up more this week too. And yeah, just check that out. And if you're on our website, bleedgeek.com, sign up for the newsletter we have there. And yeah, so you can find us at bleedgeek.com, of course. You can find us on Facebook. And you can find The Point After Attempt on Facebook as well. So if you search it, you should like it.
Can I interrupt?
Go
because
for it.
I forgot one humongous story.
What's that?
Humongous.
The gremlin in your fridge?
Not the gremlin in my fridge, but there is something in there because Mike heard it. Mike was there.
It was knocking shit over earlier. It was getting out of control.
It was getting out of control. Anyways, last quick story. Tomorrow in Los Angeles, Call of Duty XP. It's going to be, people will be able to play the new Modern Warfare multiplayer. It's the world premiere. It will be streaming live at 11 a.m. Pacific. So for us Central Coast folk, that'll be 1 p.m.
Central Coast?
You know, the Lake Superior Coast. For us Central non-coast people, 1 p.m. It'll be at callofduty.com/XP. I will be on there watching. I'm excited for it.
At what time?
1 p.m.
At work.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. Yeah, we're clear here.
Well, I'll be listening.
Okay, so. Fair enough. I'm not upset. I'm not upset. Work for me at that point in time.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping I'll be able to at least because we're going to... Anyways.
Neither here nor there.
So check it out. If you're into Call of Duty, it's a big day for us Call of Duty nerds.
And I bet if you follow us on Twitter, @BleedGeek, he'll put stuff up tomorrow while he's watching it.
Yeah. If you're following me or BleedGeek, one or the other will be posting stuff. So
yeah.
Check it out.
And also look for a touchpad review by Pat to come mid next week on our website.
Mike's cracking the whip. I was like talking to him in chat, and he's like, "Oh, so you're making a blog post, huh? You're gonna write a review?" And I'm like,
"Oh, nice.
This essentially hardware sounds reviews. Like a...
ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
so. Hardware reviews.
If we get new things, we'll try to let you know what we think about it.
It's true. Mike will be reviewing the new iPhone October 7th.
That's right. On my birthday. Well, my birthday is the 6th, but
neither here
not
nor
to
there.
Be confused. But.
Anyways, so our website, bleedgeek.com. Follow us on Twitter, @bleedgeek.
Facebook.
Facebook.com/bleedgeek.
Which you can find the Point After Attempt on Facebook as well. So you should go like that because we need more likes.
Yeah.
We have 4.
And then fans@bleedgeek.com if you want to send us an email.
Yeah,
send us comments, somebody send us something. I feel like,
because I would actually like to know. This week there has been a ton of news about a ton of crazy phones being released coming up in the next month or two by Samsung and HTC. I don't know if that stuff interests you guys. I mean, for me, it's not quite as interesting since I just know that I'm going to get the next iPhone. I mean, Randy likes Android, but I mean, he's been pretty solid with his phone. But I just want to know where you guys stand on how far you want to know about how much little details you want on dates, maybe. I mean, that's something I could, you know, put up little tidbits about on the site, or if you want to talk about it on here, just let us know. That's actually a legitimate question I've been wondering, so you guys should let me know. And if you don't want to write us, you just want to call, you can call us at 406-79-GEEKS, which is 406-794-3357. And of course, you can follow us all individually on Twitter as well. Mine is @Mike037.
And I'm @HammockTime with a Y instead of an I.
And I am @Crandall111.
And yeah. So with that, I guess we'll be signing off. We'll see you next week. I am Mike Girl.
I'm Patrick McGivern.
And I'm Randy Orvis. And I got nothing. Go Google.